The title of my sermon is A Whole New World. There's a popular song that was put out several years ago, and it was called A Whole New World, and it's quite a catchy song, and I don't know all the lyrics, but this was sort of going in my head, and I thought, well, that would be a reasonable title for a topic I want to talk about. But there's also another song put out by Bette Midler, and it's called From a Distance. And there's some interesting lyrics in this song. One is, from a distance, there's harmony, even though we are at war. And when you think about that, brethren, it is true. You know, you put distance between people, they're no longer your enemy. They're just another human being. And the more distance you put, the better things look. In other words, from the moon, the Earth looks like what it really is, a gem hanging in space. You don't see any of the problems on the Earth. You're awed by the fact that God created it. But it's not until you get in and zero in a little closer that you suddenly see the pollution, the wars, the sickness, and the diseases. Well, brethren, the whole world is coming to an end, and we're going to have a whole new world, and that is coming. A direct responsibility, we are going to have a direct responsibility in the administration of its government, and the administration of its laws, and the rebuilding of earth under the supervision and direction of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. When Christ returns, we are changed to spirit. The government of this world will change hands. It will go from Satan, the present ruler of this world, to Jesus Christ, the future ruler of this world, and from the demons to the saints. We know that Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, and we will rule with Christ for that 1,000 years here on the earth. I'd like to turn to Revelation 20 in that regard. So turn with me to Revelation 20. Revelation 20, beginning in verse 1, it says, Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he held hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things he must be released for a little while. And in verse 4, And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who were beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received the mark on their foreheads and on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So it's obvious that prior to this, some had died and were killed and martyred for their beliefs. Now let's understand one thing, brethren. Satan is totally responsible for the conditions we have in the world today, since he was given that responsibility by God. He is the God of this world and is responsible for the pollution, for the wars, for the famines, the murder, the lies, the thefts, everything. And they're a reflection of his rebellious and sick mind. And of course, the Day of Atonement pictures the time when all these evils of the world are placed on his shoulders, where they belong. As the God of this world, he is responsible. We know that Christ qualified to replace Satan as a future king and ruler of this world, but that is yet in the future, at his return, pictured by the Feast of Trumpets. Then will be ushered in the world tomorrow, the millennium, in which we are picturing in these days during the Feast of Tabernacles. The whole new world or age is not going to be ushered in one day, by just a wave of a hand, but the earth has to be renewed, cities rebuilt, people's lives turned around. And we know even in the millennium, there's resistance at first to coming to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's outlined in Zechariah 14. It's not as if everybody's just so anxious to go and obey God, you know, just because Christ has returned to the earth. Over in Zechariah 14, Zechariah 14 and verse 18 and 19, it says, "If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain, they shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Now notice, they don't have rain in Egypt, but it also makes mentions to the nations. So it's not just Egypt, the close proximity, but other nations are resisting coming up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And in verse 19, "This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Now this is speaking in the millennium, at the beginning, but there's still resistance. So before we embark on the rebuilding of what will be required and the projects that need to be done, let's look at the present situation in this world. Sort of a little analysis of the world today. You know, brethren, there's hardly a day goes by when you don't hear of some bomb going off in the Middle East, innocent killing of women and children. You know, the terrorist attacks on the school in Russia a few weeks ago sort of give us a glimpse of how bad the situation in the world is. I was watching Oprah Winfrey before we came down for the feast, and she had a woman from Russia on there who was, her and her two children were captive in that Russian situation. And it is unbelievable. This woman, at one stage, the soldiers, the terrorist says, you can go. They wanted to release some of the children and the parents, and she was really delighted about that. So anyway, they went to a certain area of the gym, and then she said to another terrorist there, the other fellow said, "I could go with my daughter and son." And he says, "No, you can't. You can only take one." I mean, how do you make that choice? She has a daughter and a son, and she's sitting there, and he says, "Otherwise, you'll all die." So she knows in her mind, if she stays, she's going to die, and yet she has to sacrifice one of her children. So she took her younger boy out with the hope that the girl would survive. And as it turned out, she didn't. When they brought out the victims, they said her daughter was mortally wounded, but still alive. She was all full of blood. They went over there, talked to her. I've got to get my composure here. It's a tough one. Anyway, the child was saying, "It's okay, Mom. Die." You know. The child was comforting the parents, and the child was dying. 6-year-old. What's this world coming to? I mean, Oprah Winfrey, they're all in tears on the show because, you know, terrorism. And that's a direct reflection of Satan's mind. He doesn't care about kids. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about women and children. He just wants to kill and destroy. And that's the world we live in, a world full of violence. I mean, just this morning on the news, another bomb in Israel. Same mentality. Kill women and children. They don't care. They have an agenda of destroying the Israelites and America, and they don't care what type of tactics they use, either in Iraq or in Israel or all parts of the world. Suicide bombers killing themselves and innocent people with them. These acts of terrorists are going to get worse, and they reflect the true nature of the God of this world, cruel and merciless. Let's have a look at Matthew 24 and verse 6. Matthew 24 and verse 6, it says, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not here, not yet here." There are wars going on in the world today, territorial wars, religious wars, ethnic cleansing in the Sudan, terrorist attacks, the list goes on and on. Ever since Cain killed his brother Abel, we have had wars on a continual basis. And I remember hearing a sermon years ago that a minister had actually sat down and gone through the history, annals of history, and done a study. And in 6,000 years of man's existence, he estimated there was only 90 years that there was no war on somewhere on the earth since the existence of man. 90 years, not even one century. Famines due to conflicts in various parts of the world, especially in Africa, are prevalent. We have seen famine in these areas due to the dislocation of many peoples to other regions of the continent. And if you look at Matthew 24 and verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places." It is a historical fact that there has been famine in various places around the world for many centuries, but these famines talked about in the Bible will increase in size and intensity. Disease epidemics, of course, these follow famine. Yet there is also fear that some terrorist group will release some kind of biological attack on the United States or its allies. That fear is always there. And believe me, they would not hesitate to do it, you know, if they could find some way to do it. This is a legitimate concern based on what we have seen in the past few years, especially since the attacks on New York, on the Twin Towers. There is also fear that terrorists will release in America a dirty bomb, which is a low-yield atomic bomb, and it hasn't got a huge punch, but it releases radiation, and the lingering effects last for years. The radiation sticks around, so it makes people sick, and it just to disrupt society, affecting the health of millions. I mean, earthquakes and unusual weather patterns. I mean, since we've been here, we've had, two little rumblings? I mean, that's one in this area. And, of course, Mount St. Helens getting ready to blow again. I mean, I remember in 1980 when that thing went the first time, the church was having a picnic in Surrey, and, you know, in the old worldwide days, and we were out there having a picnic, and I was standing there, I was coaches or doing first aid, I don't remember exactly that, and all of a sudden I heard this huge boom. I mean, and the other came out and he said, "Did you hear that?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "They must have been firing the Vancouver gun early." Now, the reason I said that is Vancouver is about 30 miles away, and they have a gun that they used to fire at 9 o'clock at night. And, of course, this was in the morning, and I just thought, well, maybe they're practicing. But it sounded like a huge cannon going off. And it wasn't until we got home and turned the TV on we realized, oh, it was Mount St. Helens that had blown its top. And, of course, we have seen earthquakes increase around the world, and there's a big one predicted for Southern California. In fact, just before the feast, on CNN, the scientists were saying there's a big one coming within the next couple of days. And then a few days later, they had to change their minds about it. So they settled for the small one, but I mean, there's still a potential for a big earthquake. We heard in the news not that long ago that they're concerned about weather patterns being unusual and different because what's happening, they feel that the temperature is going to rise some 14 degrees around the northern polar regions, and in a few decades they will have unusual melting more than normal, and what this does is instead of ice there you have earth, and of course it compounds the problem because the sun heats up the earth and heating up the earth even more, and they figure it'll heat up the earth for about 14 degrees over the next two decades. It'll create all kinds of weather patterns. I mean, look at the hurricanes that have been coming up to Florida. We've had already four major ones. And I was watching on the news, and they were saying the potential of 15 more sometime this year. I don't know who did the calculating. And it's just unbelievable. One of the big concerns that we heard on the radio not that long ago on one of the programs was that an asteroid hitting the Earth. And, of course, this is predicted to happen in the future if you look at Revelation 8. And it's a real concern, and not only is it a concern based on the reality of the Bible. In Revelation 8 and verse 8 and 9, it says, then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures of the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Well, they were saying that, this sounds like an asteroid, obviously, but they're saying that an asteroid only 2 kilometers in diameter hitting the ocean would create a 1,000-foot tidal wave traveling at some 700 miles an hour towards the shores of either both America and Europe, depending on where it landed, but it would hit either the east coast or west coast of America. And brethren, a 1,000-foot tidal wave, you could hardly imagine that. I mean, imagine someone standing 1,000 feet away and putting that up as a wall of water. And the fact that it's traveling so fast towards land, the people could not. You just don't have time. Even if you knew an hour ahead of time, you couldn't get out of the way. I mean, and 1,000-foot wall of water, you might as well have 1,000-foot wall of bricks coming towards you. Because water does not compress. And you've probably all been in the swimming pool and you've gone like this. If you're cutting the water, that's not a problem. But if you slap the water with your hands, and you know how much it stings? That's because it doesn't compress. And if you hit water at 30 miles an hour, it becomes solid. So unless you're cutting it and you're hitting it flat, you might as well, if you jump off a bridge, you might as well jump onto the cement, because water just becomes solid at that speed. And something coming at you at 700 miles an hour, anything flat of that will just totally demolish it. And of course you get this effect, a big huge wave, and then you get a backlash. I mean, it would go on for miles and miles on the flat parts of the United States. And they're predicting that this, you know, there's been, I think, 2 or 3 close calls. And these asteroids, I mean, how do you find a 2-kilometer asteroid in the sky, you know, when they're looking way off into the distance? It's like, you know, trying to find a grain of sand if you're up in a balloon and you're looking for it on the beach and it's black and everything else is white. I mean, you know, it's just almost impossible. Then it was just flukes that these things were discovered and they missed the Earth. You know, they were close calls. But we know that in the future, it's going to hit. Any one of you seen the show, The Poseidon Adventure, that came out years ago? Yeah. You know, this movie, I mean, it's an older show, so some of you younger people may not have seen it, but it was an ocean liner out in the ocean, and he got, the captain said, you know, there's a tidal wave coming, and there was nothing they could do. And, I mean, the special effects, I mean, it was scary. I mean, this ship was in the ocean, I mean, a big ship, and then there was this huge wave, and what it did is it flipped the ship right upside down, so the, you know, it was upside down, and the whole movie was about how these people going with everything upside down, working their way towards the boiler room so they could be saved. But watching that, it was frightening, because, you know, how do you, I mean, they figured that a lot of the tankers in the ocean have been sunk by rogue waves. You know, a lot of tankers have been lost. And what that is everything looks calm, and all of a sudden this big wave sort of comes out of nowhere, 40, 50, 100 feet high, and boom. And those things are, you know, they're not designed for that. It just snaps them in half, and then down they go. So the things the Earth is going to see in the future are really frightening. Now, the other thing that's going to hit the Earth is in verse 10 of Revelation. It says, and the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on the third of the rivers and the springs of waters. Now, this sounds more like a comet, you know, because a comet, what happens when it hits the atmosphere, it breaks up. And if it's going to poison the waters and that, rather than landing in one spot and creating a lot of destruction, it poisons the water. So it sounds like a comet coming breaks out, and then it says the waters are turned to wormwood. So that makes more sense, that this second one is a comet and the first one is an asteroid. And of course, if the asteroid hit land, you got just as big as a disaster. It creates such a huge crater. I mean, Mount St. Helens would seem like a church picnic by comparison. It would create hundreds of tons of dust in the atmosphere, and it would just cover the whole Earth, and it would have sort of a what they call a wintertime all the time. And, of course, crops would fail and everything of that nature. So there's some things coming that are just going to blow your mind. I mean, Revelation 8 and verse 7, it says, the first angel sounded, and hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. Hail and fire, things are going to burn up. Last year when they had those fires in Kelowna, it was unbelievable, brethren. 450-foot wall of fire. Now, you've watched football games, and the distance between the two posts is 100 yards. That's 300 feet. And then there's a distance from the post to the stands. If you could think of that standing up, that was the fire in Kelowna. Houses were literally exploding. And the reason is that this fire needs air and oxygen. And if it gets near a home and it's burning, the air rushing past the home is so great to keep the fire going, it reduces the pressure. So you land up with less pressure on the outside, more pressure on the inside, and it just goes boom, it just falls apart, and then it's sucked into the fire. They could not control it. There was something like 300 homes burnt in one area. The firemen literally had to stand there and watch this thing burn. My daughter was 3 miles away from the fire, which was burning, let's say, on a mountain here. And she lived on a mountain over here. And she was watching. She came down from where she lived, and she was watching the fire. And she says, Papa, she says, my neighbor and I just bawled. I mean, they thought it was like the end of the world. They were watching this thing, and the house was blowing up. And it was just totally incredible. And yet, we're told in Revelation, you're going to have things like that throughout the whole earth, not just in a little area like Kelowna. Now, let's look at some of the problems that are besetting the United States and the democratic nations around the world. You have murder and mayhem. There's an ever-increasing of murder, both criminally motivated and domestically in the United States, reaching alarming proportions. You have children murdering children, family violence with no end in sight. There seems to be no remorse or conscience in some of these acts that you see. That school where those kids went in with guns and killed all the students. I mean, there just doesn't seem to be any remorse. Look at 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2. It's amazing how the conscience of the age of the youth has just been seared. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith and give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their own conscience seared like a hot iron. And that's the age we live in. People's consciences are just seared with a hot iron. Abortion takes millions, not thousands of lives, millions of lives. I did an article in 1983. It was estimated there was 1.3 million abortions to 1.5 million abortions in the United States and 10 million in Russia. And that was in 1983. And Ray Zirong just recently did an article in the update. And he, from his information, this is what now, 21 years later, there are 10 million abortions in the United States. The worldwide number would be staggering, brethren, in the hundreds of millions since this has been going on. Could you imagine more deaths through abortion than probably all the wars fought on the earth since mankind ever began? The killing of the unborn, over 100 million. Potential daughters and sons of God. I mean, how do you think God feels about what's going on? He would probably like to strike out now, but it's going to get worse. Young girls in schools are allowed to have abortions without parents' knowledge. And they can control children with drugs without telling you. I mean, this goes on. There's genocide in the Sudan. They're concerned about tens of thousands being killed and over a million being displaced. Drugs is the United States' biggest user of illegal drugs. As a result, you have an ever-increasing crime rate for those who need to steal to pay for their habits. Families are destroyed over drugs. People are killed. Drugs are being introduced to lower and lower levels in the schools. Children in schools are given drugs to calm them down. I've already mentioned that. There are active volcanoes on the verge of blowing, sending ash into the atmosphere, causing unusual weather patterns. We have droughts in various parts of the world, resulting in famines. In such conditions, locusts come out by the millions, further destroying crops that are left. You have to conclude by all this that God has removed his protection and blessing from the modern Israelite nations, from the United States and Britain and Australia. In fact, when you get down to it, we're under a curse for abandoning God's laws and statutes and polluting his laws and statutes and abandoning the Sabbath and holy days. Let's have a look at Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1 to 3. Now this is the commandment that these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep his statutes and his commandments which I command you, and you and your son, your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, obviously, because of the things that are going on, those blessings aren't there. And we have, what drives the internet? Pornography? You can't go into a grocery store to get magazines, exposing every part of the female body, all on the side of innocent children. Manufacturers appeal to greed for and one-upmanship. And they, of course, sex is used for advertising, as if, you get the woman with the car. Everything's... yeah, right. Hey, does she come with the car? Fast food chains are more interested in volume and sales rather than nutritional value. Even stuff you buy in a health food store, they give you a small percentage of the value of the good because they want to make more money. Products are made with built-in obsolescence. Of course, employers endanger the lives of employees rather than employing safety standards, especially in third world countries. It's just appalling, the practices that go on. Governments are corrupt. The saying goes, power corrupts and total power corrupts totally. People enter politics with good intentions. Later they're at the trough like the rest of the boys, taking care of themselves. It's really amazing, taking full advantage of their positions and ensuring a big fat pension at the end. That's what politics is all about. Number one, and that's me. We have the homeless living in despair, the rich getting richer, and the poor getting poorer. The nation is in debt, and it's getting worse every year. Individuals are in debt over their ears. They are expecting interest rates to rise and a huge amount of mortgage defaults as a result, because you won't be able to afford the mortgage. And eventually what happens is you owe more than the house is worth, and at that time you walk away. And that happened in the 80s, and they're expecting a huge default on mortgages in the very near future. Keep in mind, though, Satan hates God, would like to take over the universe. He hates God's people. He would like to kill God's people, and God's people will in the future will be put to death. But as Christ said, the love of many would wax cold. And brethren, one thing Satan cannot do is separate us from the love of God and Jesus Christ. Wives are admitted to submit to their husbands in the Lord, which is both submission and obedience. We husbands are to submit ourselves to our husband, Jesus Christ, since he is the head and husband of the church, which he, Christ, will marry at his return. So the church is both in submission and obedience to Christ. If we do this faithfully, we will be in the kingdom ruling with Christ when he returns and establish the kingdom of God on the earth. Satan and the demons and their negative influence will be put away for 1,000 years, as is stated in Revelation 20 and verse 4. I just want to read the last part because I've already been here, and it says, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Conditions are bad now, but they will get worse beyond our imagination. Billions will die, and the earth will be rocked with violence and earthquakes. Have a look at Isaiah 24. Isaiah 24 and verse 19. The earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fail and not rise again. So, and yet, leading up to the tribulation, Christ said that these are just the beginning of sorrows. And we know that the tribulation is going to last for 3.5 years. So there's a strong indication that 7 being the number of completion, that period of resistance, wanting to go to the feast and resisting God and rebellion, is still going to last another 3.5 years into the millennium. So that finally it's totally stomped out until the end when Satan's released. But it'll take a while to get people back online. Everyone will learn to keep the Sabbath, as it's mentioned in Ezekiel 46. I'm only about halfway through, but I'm going to have to quit. Sorry about that, Mr. Harris. I didn't think it was going to last this long, to tell you the truth. But I'll just go to the end and quickly summarize here. I don't want to rob him from his time. You know, sometimes you plan things and you say, oh, yeah, this will only last about 35 or 40 minutes. Ezekiel 46 and verse 3. It says, likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the entrance of the gate before the Lord on the Sabbaths and new moons, so which includes the holy days, as covered in verse 11. At the festivals and the appointed feasts, the grain offering shall be an ephah for the bull and an ephah for a ram, as much as he wants to give for the lambs, and a hin of oil for every ephah. So, those are the things leading up to the millennium, and I had a whole raft of stuff I wanted to cover, which I don't have the time, about our job, basically, after Christ returns, is a time of renewal of the earth, and that's fine, because it's been covered by some of what the other men have talked about. It's going to be a time of rebuilding, healing, you know, where a lot of things have to be done. You don't turn tanks into plowshares, you know, with a screwdriver and a hammer. I mean, the cities have to be rebuilt. We'll have responsibilities over cities. You'll have to plan how cities are laid out. You know, a lot of building has to go on in the millennium. I mean, you're going to have billions of people come up in the resurrection at the end. You need food, housing, all those necessities for them. So we have a real glorious future, brethren. The way of life in the future we have is really worth waiting for, brethren, and it's worth enduring for, and actually it's worth dying for. So we know that there will be a marriage supper of the Lamb, and Christ himself will serve us. I mean, you know, none of this cheap wine. It'll be quality wine. I mean, it'll be a time of such joy. We just can't even imagine, you know, being introduced to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the prophets, and, you know, it says the ones that were sawn asunder. He could say, I was the one that was cut in half for the beliefs in God. I mean, all these people mentioned in Hebrews will be there in the kingdom. It'll be a time of such great joy, and ruling with Christ, it'll be such a great honor and responsibility. And, of course, we will have a crown. I mean, you won't be wearing your crown all the time. But it says we're going to have a crown and white robes. And when I worked for a company, the foreman always wore green hats, and they were quite bright. So if you were working and you were sort of sloughing off and you saw a green hat, you picked up your socks. And then there was blue hats. No, blue hats was the owner. Man, you really picked up your socks. Well, brethren, we're going to have crowns and clothing, like the high priest was recognizable. Our white linen will have markings in that, so that when we're in a crowd, people know who we are. you know, there's one of the children of God that made it. It's just not going to be, you know, unrecognizable. And I know Christ purposely sort of snuck away in times past because he didn't want to be made king, but we will be there, so we will be recognizable, and it'll be obvious that God is working with us, and we are in the God family. There will be one God, one Lord, and we'll be working with mankind. And what a glorious future we have, brethren, ruling for eternity with Christ. So let's really reflect on these things during the feast, because we're still during the Feast of Tabernacles.